a big conversation when it comes to safety in communities. No, we are not talking about cameras. I know you thought I was going that way, but I did not. No, I want to talk about something else that has become very prevalent, not just in the last couple of weeks, but honestly in the last few years. And that's the use of e-bikes, e-scooters, and not just for street takeovers. We're actually really talking about just recreational purposes. People who use e-bikes or e-scooters, typically younger people, a lot of the times people who don't even have a driver's license yet. And we've had a couple of towns say, hey, we need to put ordinances in place. Some school districts like Fairfield who ban them from school properties. Greenwich, Trumbull, just to name a few, that are now looking at more ordinances to have more, I would say, guidelines in place as to how we can better operate these things and make sure that there are areas that are safe from collisions happening, pedestrians, dog walkers, so on and so forth. And I recently saw there was an e-bike situation in Norwalk where we've also spoken about this issue before. And so joining us back on the show is Police Chief James Walsh, who I always appreciate. You make the time, Chief Walsh. Thank you so much. And first of all, talk to us about what recently happened in Norwalk and what have the conversations in general looked like in the city when it comes to e-bikes and the use of e-scooters?
Good morning, Melissa. In the past year, we've seen a significant increase in all classifications of e-bikes on the city roads. On Monday afternoon, we had a very serious accident involving a large e-bike, which was actually classified as a motorcycle. The individual juvenile went through a stop sign and he was struck by a tow truck and he was severely injured. And we've had other accidents and other incidents involving e-bikes throughout towns, especially this summer. We've seen a huge increase this summer. And as we all know, the state of Connecticut legislators did classify the e-bikes last October into three different categories. And we have been rigorous in our enforcement. We've confiscated over 35 bikes since July 5th. The July 4th weekend where they were unreal. They were everywhere throughout town. They do not obey traffic laws and our traffic officers are having a significant issue with them.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Now, explain that to me. When you confiscate them, Chief Walsh, do you keep them indefinitely? Do you just take them until somebody is reprimanded or charged? Or, I mean, when you confiscate them, what happens?
Well, some of them are turned over to the parents because a lot of the operators that we are coming across are juvenile. Predominantly, they are all juveniles. So a lot of times the bikes get turned over to the parents, and in some situations we seize them under the court paperwork, and the court paperwork goes to them as they go through the juvenile process, and they get stored here at headquarters until we get a disposition of what goes on with the case.
Because I think that's important to note if we treat it almost like when your car gets impounded, because you hear confiscated and a lot of times there are ordinances in place. I'm not just talking about Norwalk, just in general. Like we have an ordinance in place here in Milford to crack down on street takeovers. But I think sometimes when we hear that police confiscate them, we think, oh, man, those bikes got tossed. That's one less bike that's going to be out on our roadways. But that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, no, that is not necessarily true. We hold them and it has to go through the court process. And then at the end of the court, then there's always a determination made if it's going to be returned or not. So at that point, we'll return it, or sometimes it'll sit here and we go through the legal process, and then they end up being destroyed. It all depends on how the court goes, but right now we're seeing a large increase in all throughout the beach area, through downtown area, around the mall. We have some at times the kids who are in GoPros, they're engaging officers to an attempt to stop them or pull them over, and then they flee officers. So we've already told officers that there's going to be no chases or anything like that. We're just going to do all our attempts safely to arrest or stop these kids, especially enforce them with juvenile summonses and other citations. Because right now, like I said, a lot of the bikes that we are seeing are well over 3,500 and 3,700 watts, so they should be classified as motorcycles. Not many of the kids are wearing helmets or safety helmets. Or goggles, which is required among the larger bikes. And a lot of them are blatantly violating traffic laws.
Okay. Ooh, I'm about to become the most unpopular person here, Chief Walsh, and I so appreciate you being here. How much of this falls on the parents? And I say this, honestly, as a parent myself of an 8-year-old. And, you know, from a journalistic standpoint, I'm sorry, but I don't know if you saw this case. In April of this year, there was a juvenile, I want to say 14, maybe 15-year-old boy. Please don't quote me on that. I know he didn't have his driver's license. I want to say 14. And this was out in California. And he was operating what you just described, an e-motorcycle, even though we call them e-bikes. I want to first, we're going to talk about that too, because I think people have a huge misconception when we say e-bikes. But essentially an e-motorcycle. And the police had gone to this young man's house to talk to the mom at length. And there's body camera footage and everything. Please stop me if you've heard this story already. But they sat with the mom for about a half an hour saying that your child is recklessly using this vehicle. And again, I know that the laws, the ordinances are different in California. Long story short, they warned the mom about how awful the behavior was, how basically this kid is reckless. He shouldn't be operating this vehicle. 3 months after that conversation, he struck and killed an 81-year-old man, a veteran, while this man was just out walking. And believe it or not, Chief Walsh, the mom got charged, which to me, I don't hate that. And the reason I say that is because where are the kids getting these bikes from? Who's paying for them? And to be honest, if the kids don't know the rules of the road, should they even get these bikes or at least get a talking to? I mean, I hate to sound like that, but I don't know. I don't know your take on that or if you even want to touch that. I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position. But when you say e-motorcycles and that the majority of them are not even of age to have a driver's license, that does sound like a parent problem to me.
Yeah, the main issue is a lot of people are just the messaging hasn't gone out. The education is not there on what we're dealing with right now because the industry has advanced. And when people mention bikes, they think that there's pedals. A lot of the bikes that we are confiscating don't even have pedals. So that's automatically the classification of as an e-motorcycle. So I think it's going to be a learning phase, and a lot of what we've been doing, and it's not just our police department, but many police departments in southwestern Connecticut and Connecticut, there's a lot of messaging going on. There's a lot of education. I know Board of Educations have also gotten involved. So there's a lot of education for the parents on what these bikes are. I think there's a misconception currently with these bikes that needs to get fixed very quickly. And then at the end, there has to be enforcement, in which we're at that phase right now. We have used social media to educate parents and message parents at what these bikes are. And we have seen a proliferation. And I've asked myself, because some of these bikes cost thousands of dollars. At times you could buy them online. I heard there's different outlets or different stores that you can buy them at. But at times we've also called parents to the scene, and they did not know that their son or daughter had these bikes. So that is, you know, encouraging, because we could tell the officers had, you know, give me a little bit of feedback saying the parents were like shocked that their kid has it. So I don't know where they're storing them, but there is definitely a messaging and education curve that I think society needs to catch up to.
It is so important that we get perspective on these stories when you hear about towns and cities looking at ordinances to crack down on the use of e-bikes and e-scooters. And Chief James Walsh from Norwalk is so helpful in this conversation. And I so appreciate you, Chief Walsh. I got to be honest, though, I'm racking my brain right now. I used that commercial break and I did a little digging. And again, these are very rough numbers. And again, I'd have to like literally look at every single type or whatever. But in a quick search, it says that it's $1,500 to $3,000 on average for these types of e-bikes, a.k.a. e-motorcycles, which I've heard that term as well. Built for short city trips, these models usually cap out at speeds of 40 to 50 miles an hour and have smaller batteries. Popular entry-level bikes, and they kind of start to go into the models and so on and so forth. Obviously, it says the electric motorcycles, though, can go upwards of $3,000 up to $15,000. My first question is, I'm sorry, I'm having a very hard time, and I believe you. I'm not saying you're lying, Chief Walsh, but where in the world are 13, 14, and 15-year-olds getting thousands of dollars to get these bikes? I've got my producer looking on Marketplace, because maybe they're getting them off websites that are not credible, but I just don't understand, you know, even if you have a bunch of teens go in on a bike together, how there's just no idea that these kids have these bikes. I'm struggling with this, and I don't mean to sound judgmental, but I'm really trying to understand this better.
Yeah, and that is a concept we're also trying to understand too, because we do see some of the size of these bikes, so we know that they're thousands of dollars in ourselves, themselves. It's difficult to understand, but right now the reality is that southwestern Connecticut. Some of our busier urban areas have been infiltrated with them. They have become a significant traffic issue. I think as messaging and education increases with parents, maybe it is the parents who are buying these e-bikes for them. That we do not know. But it is something that I think that as society and as law enforcement, we definitely need to catch up with.
So I was looking and my producer was checking these. He's on Facebook Marketplace right now. And you can find some of these e-bikes. But Eric, these have the pedals. So there are some that even are going for free. So, okay, I could see where maybe the e-bikes are a couple $100. Eric, try to see if you could find ones without the pedals. Look for e-motorcycles. Now, I don't know if they're called that, Chief Walsh. Correct me if I'm wrong. But are they called e-motorcycles or are they still called e-bikes?
More or less, that classification is an e-bike of over 3,700 watts or 50 cc's. So that's the legal classification of the larger bikes. Those are called either motor-driven cycles or they have legal classification according to Connecticut General Statute is a motorcycle. So it would be an e-motorcycle or an e-motor-driven cycle without pedals.
Okay. Could you type that one in, Eric, and check on that? Thank you so much. Because, and again, I don't mean to be trivial with this, Chief Walsh, but if the narrative is that teens, again, ones that don't even have their driver's license, which, correct me if I'm wrong, you said a lot of the people that you guys are catching or you're confiscating bikes from are juveniles. They do not have a driver's license, correct?
They do not.
Okay.
They do not.
So to me, that would require that you have some kind of supervision, somebody who knows you bought that bike and somebody who should be probably saying, hey, don't be an idiot, or maybe you shouldn't be operating it if you don't even know how a four-way stop works because you haven't even gone to driver's ed yet. I really don't mean to be a jerk. I just, it's so frustrating to me when we hand things over to our kids or our kids get their hands on something. And again, I'm not trying to victim blame here or anything, but when you hear these stories, like I'm listening to Trumbull and they're saying there are people trying to walk their dogs or there are kids who are playing in their front yards. And these scooters or these bikes or these motorcycles are just zooming by, not caring really at all. And you've got kids who've never even gone to driver's ed before. And I think to myself, yes, sure, the teen or the preteen should absolutely bear responsibility. But I also think there is a collective responsibility here. And I'm glad to know that there's so many entities kind of working on the education portion of it. But it's just so it's enlightening to me is the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, I do agree. There has to be a collective responsibility. And people also have to realize that, you know, the charging of these batteries sometimes has caused a fire. So that's another thing that people need to be aware of is that, you know, they're charging high powered lithium batteries. And you have to be cognizant of where they're storing them in the garage and it's safe and make sure that the battery's not cracked if you drop the bike. So, you know, fire marshals and fire departments throughout southwestern Connecticut are also concerned to where these bikes are being stored.
Right. And we don't even have an effective way to put those fires out right now, by the way, for anybody at home who doesn't know, they basically just have to burn until it's done. That's kind of, unfortunately, yeah. There's no way to put out an e-bike or an e-battery, like a fire. They can't.
Yes, they burn very hot. We have difficulty with them, yes.
Yeah. So, Chief Walsh, I guess from your perspective and what you're hearing from officers in your department as well, or even other cities and towns, because I know you're in touch with a lot of other chiefs, what would you like to see done? I mean, are there other effective things that could be happening? I mean, everybody always looks to say like laws and ordinances, but does it come down to just education? Does it come down to like, I love to hear that the boards of ed in towns and cities are also, you know, getting on board with this and things like that. But, you know, what could we effectively do to get this better under control? Or is there not that solution yet?
We have the laws that are on the books to effectively enforce these things. Probably the biggest thing is what most of this discussion has spoken about is that parents need to know that you're not buying your child a bicycle. You're buying them a motorcycle. And a lot of them, what we're seeing right now is some of the kids are actually spray painting over some of the identifying marks to make it difficult for law enforcement to differentiate the wattage, because that's what the classification is based on the wattage. So we're coming across all kinds of situations right now, which is making it difficult. And the kids know exactly what they're driving, but the parents don't. So the parents need to know if they see an e-bike in the backyard or in the garage, ask, okay, where did this come from? What is it? Do some education. Is there pedals on it? How many wattages? Have a discussion with your child. And okay, if they see one and say, these things are not safe. So it's going to take everybody's approach, from the parents to the kids, to Board of Education, to local municipalities and law enforcement and the kids themselves, to realize that this is no longer a bicycle. You're driving a very high-powered, quiet motorcycle. And sometimes they're able to drive up onto intersections. People don't see them or hear them, and they're very dangerous.
Yeah, and I will say I just got another message from my producer who did find some of these e-motorcycles. You're still looking at a few hundred, maybe cracking the $1,000 mark. But again, you could reasonably see where they might find them and parents don't know. So I'll give you that. But to your point, Chief Walsh, whether they're hiding them somewhere or parents just don't know what their kids are purchasing, it just leads to a discussion of like, hey, are you using a friend's? Do you own one of these? Can I see the bike that you purchased the other day? Like, I get it. I get as they get older, it's harder to kind of be in control of what they do. But until your kid gets a driver's license and has at least gone through driver's ed, to me, I think you have so much jurisdiction to be like, what are you doing? I need to know what you're riding. I need to see it. And I think you have that right. You house them, right? So I feel like you have that right to ask and to see it and to know what they are operating. And to also just have that conversation of, hey, if you have friends who come across this, you need to let me know. You know, it does start with that kind of conversation at home, I think, to at least make a difference in how they're, I mean, again, just a hazard, not only to other people on the roadways, but even to the people operating them, like the case you just saw in Norwalk earlier this week. So I do appreciate you having the conversation here on WICC, Chief Walsh, and for everything you guys do at the Norwalk Police Department. Thank you so much. And we'll certainly track what happens next with the e-bikes and e-motorcycles and e-scooter conversations, not just in Norwalk, but across the state of Connecticut. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.